totally done with whatever that was.
Oh. You're just jealous because you didn't get to go to Allstate in high school.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone to Allstate in high school in wrestling. You're right.
Twice!
Nothing better.
I wasn't talking about Allstate Choir. I was talking about Allstate Wrestling or football or something manly. That's what this show is all about.
Yeah, which is this
man stuff.
This is the Council Cast. Welcome to episode 142, being recorded on October 27th, 2020. The council is now in session, and as with every week, we'll make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit, with a little background and next
random
to no
shit
expertise. All council cast.
Sorry, a little out of practice.
Decisions are final and have no bearing on anything whatsoever, except for Logan's terrible timing.
Sorry, guys. I haven't been on for a couple weeks.
Well, you know what? That's okay, because in the couple weeks that you were gone, NASA has apparently flown their OSIRIS-REx spacecraft to an asteroid. And as a matter of fact, they have collected asteroid rocks.
What?
So was it exactly like the video game Asteroid?
I can only imagine so. Somebody back home was...
They were spinning around in outer space as the asteroid was coming towards them, and they were shooting at other asteroids to get out of their way so they could land on the one asteroid.
Yes.
Yes.
Thumbs up. Fantastic. For space.
So apparently this is the first time that NASA has actually landed something that briefly touched down on an asteroid. The asteroid that it landed on or touched down on is called Bennu, and it is currently more than 200 million miles from Earth.
That's quite a ways.
Better send a crew out there to blow it up.
And so the biggest thing they're doing is they landed, and they're picking up some rocks, and they're going to bring them back to Earth, apparently.
What are they going to do with those?
Wait, I've seen this movie. We shouldn't do that.
Throw them at people?
I'm with Logan on this one.
Novel.
Huck it. Chuck it.
But apparently... So
no, those
one
are grenades.
The one thing I saw this week is that they apparently picked up all their rocks, but their little rock collector, apparently they picked up too many rocks that their rock collector couldn't close, and so they're just streaming rocks through space on their way back home.
Wait, who made this?
NASA.
Oh, yeah. Definitely American.
The door doesn't close. What do we do? Just hope for the best. Drive it
let
home.
Jump the ship. Just poop them out all the way home.
Just
what
go
can
faster.
They do to hope for the best?
And why on Earth they wouldn't just like... Why they wouldn't just be like, hey, just leave one of the rocks behind and let the door close.
It's because they're not on Earth. They're in space.
You're right.
Oh, maybe this little GIF will tell me why not. You know, they have a little video of 45 seconds showing how it works.
There was no fail-safe entered into this so that you could just...
I don't know. Why didn't they just ask the little green men who live on the asteroid to close the door the rest of the way?
You know, because they didn't have your leadership skills.
Talking to them would have been a non-racist thing to do, and came out of America, it's dumping all of its waste behind it, and it was racist to the locals. That's
ouch.
Just how it rolls.
That's intense right off the bat.
According to the little video, I don't understand how it could collect too much.
I'm not sure either. It looks like a little vacuum cleaner, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, you look at the little video, there's those little red doors that close. Maybe those little red doors aren't closed. Like, right around 20
oh,
seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Good job for going to an asteroid. Hopefully they didn't pick up any little green men and bring them back home, so thumbs up for that.
That's cool. Thumbs up for rocks.
And so they had a backup plan if they did not collect enough samples at January 12th. But I don't think they're going to have to use that backup plan.
They had a backup plan if they didn't capture enough.
Depends on how many
no
they
backup
dump.
Plan for... what if they lose all the rocks between now and then?
Oh, man.
Then someone at NASA's losing their job.
Hey, at least they landed and came back where...
So far, they haven't come back yet.
Was it the European Space Agency that lost... that lost their module landing on an asteroid?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, maybe if you were that guy who... Maybe you're that guy at NASA, and instead of getting fired, you're going to actually be the next one to go collect asteroid rocks.
We're sending you up there next time, Johnson.
You think you can do better? We'll make sure you can do better.
I didn't say anything, sir. Who said it then? It was Johnson. It wasn't me. But you're Johnson. No, I'm not Johnson. We're both Johnson. It was Johnson. It was Phil Johnson. I'm Mike Johnson.
You're all interns here. Shut up.
You're all going. You know what? We're going to just send one. We're sending both of you now.
Didn't you hear Johnson & Johnson, bud? NASA. It's a family business now.
Oh, that's great when Logan tells jokes that really tickle him. He just starts laughing. Face gets all red like that. It's perfect.
And then we all just laugh at him.
Classic Logan.
It's a classic Council Cast moment there.
The joke was not funny.
No.
It was an excellent attempt.
Hey, that's all I ask for, guys.
Well, you know, if that wasn't enough pressure for you, you know, maybe the pressure of this new room temperature superconductor would be enough to get you going.
Hmm.
So, so this is apparently some researchers who basically have been able to make a room temperature superconductor. Typically, for those who don't know, superconductors usually have to be operated at like super cold temperatures, like close to absolute zero.
Okay.
So pretty big deal, because this would allow them to not have to operate at such extreme temperatures, but they could do it at room temperature.
What's the benefit of a superconductor?
It's way more efficient.
Mm.
Are we talking like 3% here, or?
I don't know. I'm just going to say like 30.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
So the
how
only,
good is it, Matt?
The only problem is, this is maybe a better question, that it may operate at room temperature, but it does require about 2.5 million atmospheres of pressure.
Oh my god. Is that a lot?
I don't know.
Where is Brian to figure this out?
I don't know if that's a lot or not.
2 million.
Can Matt put that into perspective for us?
No.
Damn. That, wow.
He only knows how to answer that question when Brian asks it.
Ah, that must be it.
I haven't been paying attention.
I don't even know what a comparable unit of measure would be, to be honest. But anyway, if you can apparently hit that pressure, you can now create a superconductor.
Dope.
Yeah, but what does that mean for me?
Superconductors are tight. At what point are we violating that dude's copyrights or trademarks?
At this point, we're paying homage. I mean, you could argue that people watching this show might confuse it as original content, because if they're watching this show, they must not realize that there's anything else on the internet to watch.
YouTube.
It is not original content. I am quoting that one dude's videos that I like.
We're also not profiting off of this show.
I'm also not profiting off of it.
A huge shock to our listeners.
But I'm also willing to bet that that guy did not invent the phrase something being tight.
Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
That is probably more.
More likely his original thought. I don't know. People have said that before. He just says it at such a high frequency that...
Right, he just said something a lot and people are like, that guy.
Okay, so here we go. So top 10 uses for superconductivity. From this list, literally just became an expert in how to use superconductors.
You and, did?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just now.
Easy.
Where? Like some online university?
Yeah, from the top10s.net university.
Is it accredited?
Sure. I did not pay them anything.
So. Accredited universities are tight.
Superconductors are used for MRIs, for example. So maybe they could make smaller MRI machines using this.
Goodbye, helium.
They could also be used to make a star tram or a space elevator. So if you want to go to space...
I thought we needed carbon nanotubes for that.
Yeah, but part of the other half of it is superconductors, maybe. I don't know. The EM drive.
I thought
drive,
the other half of it was your mom.
The Large Hadron Collider.
So particle accelerators.
And space travel. So, you know, you can...
all things I do on Saturday.
Wait, yeah. Space travel is real now?
Space travel is
real. I'm sorry, I got confused with time travel. Never mind.
Okay, so that's 4.
Oh, you wanted all 10?
Yeah.
Okay, space travel, HTS power cables, super colliders, EM drive, space elevator, regular elevators, electric motors, MRIs, trains, maglev trains, and...
That'd be tight.
Eric wants to know what are car banana tubes. I don't know. Did we say that earlier?
Carbon nanotubes.
Oh.
Car banana tubes.
And
for your sound system.
Thermonuclear reactors. So there you go.
Car banana
nuclear
tubes.
Reactors, huh?
Nuclear.
You know, so I think that's pretty dang cool. I mean, I give it a thumbs up, but I wouldn't want to put my hand inside of the pressure chamber, so.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It was like unanimous across the board, everyone.
Check with our listeners and see what they think about that.
Yeah, listeners, what do you think about that?
If you want to make a comment about it, please tweet us at Real Councilcast. We will read your tweet live.
Sure. Next time we check it, we'll get on there and we'll go, oh, hot damn, somebody messaged us on Twitter. Oh, per our request. Got it.
All right. So you know what maybe isn't required such high pressure is new 10,000 pixels per inch displays. So if you thought your new iPhone 12 was pretty high pixel dense.
Yeah, screw you, Apple.
Great Scott.
With your Retina display. Or Super Retina or whatever the hell they've got now.
But yeah, this is even better. So Samsung and Stanford University have apparently developed a new OLED technology that supports resolutions up to 10,000 pixels per inch.
That's hot.
That's pretty tight.
You know it.
So yeah, this is apparently people are thinking that this could be used for like virtual reality headsets. You know, one of the biggest problems there is people complain about this screen door effect with being able to kind of see the pixels. This could essentially eliminate it. I mean, in my mind, this basically means you could have infinity resolution.
But I prefer to look at life through a screen door.
Makes you feel safe, doesn't it?
Sure.
It does.
Infinity resolution?
Yeah, why not?
Why are you saying things that are trying to break my brain tonight?
You know, it's just another day on the council cast.
Just another day.
On the council cast.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, just I can only imagine this will be out next year. Just wait for it. It'll cost like $100,000 for the first one.
That's it. I'm saving my pennies.
You better save up.
Sell my gold.
Maybe you can just trade it in.
Maybe.
You never know.
You know, but hopefully hopefully it's not that expensive, and hopefully it doesn't take that long. But I am curious to see how much this costs. So,
what is the pixel per inch of the index?
Of what?
Of Windex?
The Valve Index.
I don't know.
They've got 2 1440 by 1600 120 hertz displays. But I don't know how big the display is.
Yeah, it doesn't really say. I don't know.
Well, that sounds like a cool screen.
Let's see.
Can I get it in the size of a 49-inch display?
I can only imagine.
Eric still wants to know how much he can get for a car banana tube.
What the hell's a carbonara tube?
I don't know. You're the one that said it.
Carbonara tube? I think that's called pasta, dude.
The index is 598 pixels per inch.
598, and this is going to be able to do 10,000. That's a little bit of a jump up.
That'd be nice.
Hmm. It'd be like looking at somebody in real life.
It would actually if be you have better 20, than 10 real vision. Life. Better than real life.
Oh, well. I'm never going back to the office then.
We're infamous. That's more than famous.
Yes, something like that.
Little Three Migos for you guys.
Well, you know, classics. With all of those pixels, you can fill them all up with the Lumography's new 35mm camera that has a lens you fill with water.
What?
Yes.
So, I mean,
why?
Just
yes.
What I want to do
no.
is...
Let me buy one first. Wait, yes.
Spray
no.
water on my camera. But yeah, so these guys at Lumography, they apparently have a lens, a special lens that you can use to put water into it with like different dyes and food coloring and whatnot. And it basically can give you different filters for your camera without using digital filters. That's the way I understand it.
So it's a filter for an analog camera.
Yes. Basically. So they have a couple different examples here of like what would happen if you used like salt water, syrup, detergent, you know, alcohol, jam.
I would think salt water would be bad because it's got like particles in it.
Well, that's
wouldn't you want a typically want like a particle free?
Well, I think that's kind of their whole thing, is they're like, do whatever you want, and you might get a cool picture.
So, hey, guys, let's go take some photographs at the park. That sounds like fun. Yeah, let's do it. Oh, don't forget the booze, detergent, food coloring, and we'll have to stop at the beach to scoop up some salt water.
Well, and you know, don't forget your 50cc syringe.
Oh, let's get our salt water from the river. That way it'll give a weird texture and a sepia filter because of how nasty the water is. I'm just giving you the New York perspective. That's all.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, you wanted to get it from the Hudson. I see.
No, the East River.
Oh, so you can actually see through it?
Yeah, it'll be greener than more
is
brown.
Is it the East River that Kramer and all them start swimming through in Seinfeld in that episode? They're all like, "What's that smell?" And Kramer's like, "It's East River."
Yep.
I think it's East River. Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I mean, I can't think of a better thing to combine with my camera than water. Seems to make sense to me. Maybe.
Wouldn't that slow down the shutter speed?
Yeah, I'm curious. Hold on.
It's
sorry,
in
guys.
The lens, not
let me open up
sensor.
This article, because this does sound interesting.
Well, I am fully expecting Silas to give us his professional input here.
You can buy it for $79.
It must be high quality.
With a K.
Yep.
I think you have to buy the camera as well.
Oh, is it just 70 for the lens?
I think it's
Lumography.
70 for the lens.
Okay.
Hot mama.
But
no, you get the whole camera for $79.
Then you have to find somewhere to buy actual
35 millimeter film and develop it.
Yeah, where can you get film developed?
I don't know, like Walgreens or something, probably.
Yeah, do they not develop film anymore?
They do, yes.
They just hate you every time you bring it in.
Yeah, they're like, another one of these assholes. Yeah, my professional opinion is,
I'm surprised they don't, like, ship it off to some place to get it.
Oh yeah, that's what
developed.
They do. That's what they do. They're still just annoyed they have to put postage on a thing to send it out. I do not. This just makes me tired. it's. I guess if you don't want to pay for Photoshop, sure. I do understand that it is.
Thanks for waiting for me.
Like having a real appreciation for film and like understanding the chemical process and getting really into that. I could see myself looking at something like this and going, oh, cool. Could I do this to make the image look like that? And just like make it in my own dark room or whatever. But where like for professional use, I don't see this having a lot of benefit unless you are doing it as an art exhibit and you're planning to use something like this to create a whole series of things and you're filling out an entire gallery with your work and you wanted to do this for that. But at that point, I feel like you're going to create your own system for filling your lens with water and ruining, you know, your camera. So I don't know. I guess, you know, thumbs up for art. But I don't know. It just makes me tired.
You know, I'm going to give it a thumbs down for, I don't know why I would use this.
35 millimeter film.
Yeah, I'd much prefer 10 millimeter film.
What's that? What's film?
10 millimeter film. I like it to be just a little less than is acceptable.
What's film?
It's a really thin piece of something.
Oh, Okay. Yeah. Why are we putting that in our cameras?
Because it looks cool. What was the film type that was like a little? It was like a had two circles and then had like a thing that went across the center of it. It was like on those really cheap cameras. The hell was that called? You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody have any idea what I'm saying?
Two circles.
Yeah, it was like
Were they getting swifty?
No. Well, whatever. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'll figure it out later.
Say it one more time. It had two circles.
It's like a little canister. It's like a canister, but you know, so normally you have like your film canisters just like a tube. But mm-hmm. This is like imagine two tubes, but then it had like a bridge between them. So like it obviously unspools from one, goes across the center, and then spools up on the other.
Okay.
Sounds like it's just a different type of cartridge for 35 millimeter film.
It was not 35 millimeter though.
Hmm.
It was something else. Was it 8 millimeter? I don't know.
Interesting.
Anyway, you know, if you're on Twitter, you may want to consider what your password is, especially if you're maybe the president of the United States, as apparently a security research logged into President Trump's Twitter by guessing his password.
Are you kidding me?
Apparently his password was MAGA2020! Exclamation point.
Nice.
That is incredible.
With no multi-factor authentication,
which is the more concerning part. Yep. I mean, so like, screw the fact that his password is garbage. What is concerning is that his security, like information technology ops people, are clearly falling over them fucking selves if they can't even have the president's primary method of communication at least multi-factored. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is InfoSec day one, you fucking moron.
Like, they probably did have it turned on, and then he bitched. Like, probably, finally, fuck, we'll turn it off.
Yeah, that's also probably
Cause,
true.
Because there's a big deal about Obama getting his own personal cell phone.
It's like, just
he had to switch phones.
It's a goddamn nightmare. Trump.
Oh, Eric says technology. Eric has the answer for you, Blaine. Sorry, they're called Instamatic. Hundred and 120 film or 110 film. They also made 126. They're called Instamatic.
Yes, that is exactly it. Thank you very much.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
I'm doing a great job of keeping up with these comments tonight. Oh yeah.
Thumbs up for our sole viewer.
Hey, nice job. We're very proud of you.
Our sole viewer.
Yeah, not our single and only viewer, but the one in our soul.
SOLE, yeah, or SOUL, because matter.
SOLE.
Whichever he prefers, or she,
or whatever you want to use as your password, that's okay.
Whatever it is.
So, moral of the story is, apparently, Trump, who said that you apparently need an IQ of 197 to be able to get in order to be able to hack somebody, apparently doesn't take much if your IQ is 10 to come up with an awesome password and not put two factor on it.
That's amazing.
Oh,
this,
man.
This is just amazing.
So wait, you're telling me that the exclamation point in my password isn't helping me at all?
I mean, now that you've told everybody that there's an exclamation point in.
Damn it.
I'm now going to run every password configuration.
But yes. It is.
Is it also bad that it's only four characters long?
And they're all the exclamation point?
Yes. It's all exclamation points.
That is not a very secure password, Silas. I hate to tell you that.
You don't know me. It's the most secure.
You know, I give thumbs up for, I don't know, making a funny story.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thumbs up for fake news.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, that's what he's going to call it.
I didn't get hacked. That's fake news.
All right. Well, you know what's not fake news is knowing if the McDonald's McSunday machine is going to work for you or not when you go to McDonald's.
This guy is a genius.
So, yeah, this guy, apparently, he has created a bot. So if you've ever wondered or gone to McDonald's and you're like, I want ice cream, and they're like, our machine's broken today. This guy apparently has created an app with using a bot to basically verify that by ordering McSundays every 30 minutes, whether or not a McDonald's Sunday machine is working.
But he's not actually ordering them. He's just putting them in the cart for order.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
If it allows...
It was a pretty great idea for an app. I mean, if you're in wanting to know whether the ice cream machine at McDonald's is broken, great. To a resolution of like what, 30 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, 30 minutes. I mean, I don't know how often does the machine break at McDonald's.
I mean, every 30 minutes is probably enough of a time window to catch it for 99%.
McBroken is the name of the app.
Yeah.
McBroken. It's a great is name of the app. This is amazing. Oh my gosh. Reverse engineered the McDonald's internal ordering API. Launched the tool. I'm currently placing an order worth $18,752 every minute at every McDonald's in the U.S. to figure out which locations have a broken ice cream machine.
Yep.
That's the quote from the article.
But what, from what I read, amazing. From what I read, he's not placing the order, right? He's just like putting the stuff in the cart to make sure it works.
Yep.
Like
just to see if he's allowed to order, place an order for it, not to actually.
Right.
So then my question, how does the app know if the ice cream is broke, machine is broken or not?
I don't.
Does somebody have to manually.
The goddamn McDonald's website should clearly, this is information that is available somewhere because he's able to discern it by whether you can put it in the cart or not. Just fucking float it up via the McDonald's app. Like,
it should be in the Google, like, is it open? Is McDonald's open? Yes or
like
no?
In the little card on the right hand side.
McFlurry machine broken.
And McDonald's have yes open. Or no.
McFlurry machine broken.
Like when you were in middle school. And you ask people if they like you. Do you like me? Yes or no? Yes. Circle one. That's all that we need from our Mickey D's.
Yeah, but if they advertise that and you can see it before you even like you're like, oh hey, we could turn right up here to go to McDonald's, get a McFlurry, and you pull it up on your app. If you end up in the drive-thru, then you're kind of like, well, I guess I'll get 2 Big Macs, a large fry, and 2 large Cokes, please.
Apparently,
all we said we were going to get is the McFlurry.
8% of them are currently broken.
That seems like a lot.
Although, they have like a 4-hour cleaning cycle that they're supposed to do like daily.
Yeah.
So they just say that it's broken when they're cleaning it.
I mean, I guess we can't order, so it's essentially broken.
And it's easier to tell the people that it's broken instead of work. It's
well, what would you do? Well, it's in its cleaning cycle. Come back in 3 hours, and I'll make you one.
What type of ice cream machine takes 4 hours to clean, and you're supposed to do it nightly?
Sure. Yeah, I give the guy a thumbs up for thumbs coming up with this idea. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Great thought.
Does the app cost anything?
No, you can go to mickbroken.com right now.
Yep.
Wait, is it a web page or is it something I can download on Google Play?
It's a web page.
Google Play. I mean, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah. Yo, I think we're going to go move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week then. See what everybody wants to throw out there.
I'd like Elon Musk to make an ice cream machine that has a higher reliability than the one McDonald's has.
So an ice cream machine that never breaks.
Yes. That would be great.
All right.
Then you'd put McBroken out of business.
He's not making...
He's not even running ads on the website.
He has a link at the top. Buy me a McFlurry. He's taking donations. I want to know who's paying the hosting bill for this.
He probably has it set up on a server in his house.
He's probably doing it on a free Wix site.
Yeah, a free Wix site. Who? What loser would do that?
Like, he would go out over his free Wix bandwidth.
Speaking of,
like,
don't forget, check out CouncilCast at I don't know what I'm saying.
CouncilCast@gmail.com.
Where's our website?
On the internet.
CouncilCast, I really love my echo right now.
CouncilCast.net. I think, right?
.org.
.org. I don't know.
Oh, they have internet on computers now.
Eric says most places do not clean their ice cream machines that often. Trust me. I don't know why the trust me was like so important.
Is he, an ice cream machine? How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know? Explain yourself while we pitch to Mr. Musk.
I'm not sure I can just trust you. Who else has got a pitch for Mr. Musk?
I have a pitch. I would like a naming machine. Like, you have those random name generators, but I want something better than that. It's 2020, all right? I want something that works better than that. You know, so like if I'm writing a screenplay and I want to be able to, you know, name, come up with character names, or if it is, you know, someone
just calling them Frenchie and Mr. English and Spaniard and
maybe it gives you like a full backstory as well.
Yeah, like if it could just write my screenplay for me, that's what I want. I just want
a naming machine that writes screenplays,
a full backstory, and how that character fits into the story.
Yeah, is that too much to ask? Didn't think so.
Four screenplays. Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's tough work coming up with one of them. Just hit auto-generate. That would be pretty cool.
That's what I want.
All right.
Well, I want a chiropractic robot.
A chiropractic robot. That sounds dangerous.
A robot that you can do chiropractics on.
Yes. A robot that I can pop its back, not the other way around.
We like that game Operation, but it's just chiropractics.
You can break its back, but it won't break yours.
Gets that little. Oh, you broke like the game broke client's back. Operation. Lose $500,000 and your license. Start over.
All right. Who's next? Go ahead and spin. That's exactly what I meant. How'd you guys know?
Well, you're very good at describing what you want.
Cool.
It's almost like we can hear your thoughts or something.
I just might be talking out loud.
as most people do.
Let's see. Oh, you know what? Here's my pitch. So I have this game. I have Gloomhaven. I don't know if anybody's played it. But this game has a absurd amount of cardboard cutouts. And cards and a bunch of other shit that you have to somehow magically keep together in the box and not lose everything. And so there are organizers that they sell online, but I think you should come up with a better one that is automated. And it fits like in the box, and it like picks up and puts out all the cards for you. So if you want to clean up at the end of the game night, you just hit a button and it picks everything up and hops itself into a box.
What is my purpose? You pick up game pieces. Oh my god.
You want a robot that cleans up after you're done playing games.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is genius.
While I'm playing the game, if I have to walk out of the room, it can also like protect the game board from the cats.
Are you sure lasers? Not from a cheating wife?
Here's my addition to that pitch. You need to have like people are going to go, well, why can't it wash my dishes? Why can't it do this? It can, but we're only going to allow it to do this one thing.
Of course.
And then next year we can do a firmware update and sell it as a separate product, and we'll have a whole line of them, and they'll all have numbers and letters associated with them so that you know that this is your game board robot and this is your dishes robot and this is your
exact same
wipe my ass robot. You know, whatever chore you don't want to do, the robot's going to – you have a whole separate robot for each of those.
I'm not going to lie. I spaced out for a while, and then my brain turned back on for wipe my ass robot, and I am down for whatever you're selling.
See? Told you guys. I told you.
Then you'll end up with
– firmware upgrade to wipe your ass.
You'll end up with robot names similar to monitor names at the moment, with as many letters and numbers are associated with them. It is ridiculous.
I like it. I like it.
Can they look like little ducks too? And they do everything with their duck bills?
Sure.
Sure.
Even wipe your ass?
Why not?
Why not?
All right, I think with that, I'm going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. We thank everybody for listening and watching us live, for those of you who do. We do this live Tuesday nights at some point in time in the evening on YouTube. But if you missed us, you'd certainly check out all of our past episodes on councilcast.org, iTunes, or your favorite podcatcher.
We don't update the website. But please, go visit. We need more viewers.
Nah.
And if you have if you have a topic you'd like the council's decision on, you can email us at councilcast@gmail.com or send it to us at RealCouncilCast on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
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 Goodbye.